All right, we'll be using the chorus book tonight. Let's turn to Psalm number 73. Psalm number 73 in the chorus book. You're able to stand. Let's do so, please, as we sing.
He tells me all.
synopsis of the history of mankind and God's dealing with each one of us. And he's not done yet. All right. Pastor, do you have any announcements you want to make? Okay. The one announcement I want to make is we discovered that there was an error in the last page of the Constitution that we gave you. There were some pieces of it missing. We found those missing pieces. We have made copies of that missing page. They're on the table in the back. Please pick one up. All right? So it's important as we'll be meeting again soon to make a decision on this Constitution that we have all the information we kept so that we can do the right thing before the Lord. So that's all I have. All of you were here this morning and heard about the need for someone to take care of the church lawn. So if you're able to help, that's fine. And the sign-up sheet is here. And also, if you haven't signed up for the picnic on the 3rd, that sign-up sheet is on the organ as well. So that's all the announcements I'm aware of. All right. We'll stay right in the same area, and we'll sing 125. The old account settled long ago.
Until then. And find Amen. I'm going to try to preach tonight, but I don't know if we'll be go forward with it. There's a lot going on. You need to keep Sister Kathy Covino in prayer. Before I got over here, she found her, it's her brother, correct? Her brother had passed away when they went over and checked on him today, her and Adam. So just keep her in prayer. I just got off the phone before I got in there. They're still at the house and waiting for the coroner to clear them. So just pray for her and for Adam and just that situation there. If you take your Bible, if you flip over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. I'm going to try to pick up here and finish verse number 13 and maybe look at some of what's going on in verse number 14, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verse 13, the Bible says here, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when we received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, dear God. Lord, again, I just thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. Lord, I just ask for your help now. Lord, I ask for your strength, Lord, wisdom and guidance, and just you would give us something out of your word this evening, Lord, that would help us to draw closer to you in these last days that we're living in. Lord, that we would just be about your business, and Lord, that we'd be faithful. And Lord, I ask this now in Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. The Bible says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, the latter part, we kind of looked at some of it last week. We went back and looked at verse number 12, where it says, "Ye that would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." And then he goes on to say in verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as it is the word of men, but as in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So the question to ask here this evening is, are we allowing the word of God to effectually work in us, those of us that believe? Effectually means with effect. It means in a manner that produces an intended effect. In such a manner that produces the effect desired, allowing God to work in our lives to bring us to his desire for our life. Take your Bible, look over at James chapter number 1 and verse number 16. James chapter 1 and verse number 16. James 1. James 1 and verse number 16. Bible says here in the book of James, chapter 1 and verse number 16, it says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul." You see here in the book of James, he talks about that they received the word of truth. And then it says here in verse number 21 that they received it. They received with meekness the engrafted word, which is what? Which is able to save their souls. He says, and he goes on in verse number 22 of James chapter 1 and says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." your own selves. We sort of looked at this morning that there's times where an individual can deceive themselves. But one way you can find out is if you're not deceived is that there's an effectual working of God's word in your life. But I think sometimes individuals are deceived because they go off of something that occurred when they were younger, yet it has produced no effect. It hasn't produced no change, and it thus deceives them. He says here, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. But pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Does the word of God, as 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse 13 say, does the word of God effectually work in you that believe? Take your Bible now and look at verse number 14. It says this. It says, "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." He goes on to say here in verse 14, "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus." A follower is this, one who comes, goes, or moves after another in the same course. Paul's saying to these brethren here, he says, "Ye became followers of the churches of God which are in Judea, which are also in Christ Jesus." Not only did the brethren become followers of the churches of God that were in Judea, but they're also followers of Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus. So not only did they follow the dictates and the direction of the churches which are already established in Judea, they also were following Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus. Look back at chapter number 1 and look at verse number 5. Look what Paul says here. He says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. And ye be," look what he says in verse 6, "and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." So not only were these brethren followers of the churches in Judea, of God in Judea, which is in Judea, they were also followers of Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus. You see, there's nothing wrong with following a man as he follows God. But as soon as that man decides and starts turning from following the Lord and his word, is a time where you need to turn and stop following him. That's why it's so important to know your Bible. That's why it's so important to come to church, pray, meditate upon God's word. But there's nothing wrong scripturally with following a man as he follows God. Take your Bible, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 1. First Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 1. Paul tells the church here at Corinth. He says here, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 1. He says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Take your Bible, look at Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 15. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 15, establishing this principle that you can follow a man as long as that man is following the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 15. Again, Paul writing to the church here at Philippi. He says in chapter 3 and verse number 15, he says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this. God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. let us mind the same things. Verse 17, brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Here Paul tells the church again at Philippi, just like he told the church there in Corinth, and as he talks to the church there in Thessalonica, he says here, he says, brethren, be followers together of me. And not only follow, he says, not only follow me, but he says, mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Because he goes on to say that there's some that walk, and one of the ways you can find out they're an enemy of the cross of Christ is that they mind earthly things. They mind earthly things. I said this before, and I believe that the devil always marks his stuff. He always marks his stuff. And I believe if you're trying to walk with God, I believe this this evening. I believe if you're truly trying to walk with God, that God's going to keep you out of deception. I really believe if you desire in your heart and you have a sincere desire to know truth, sincerity and truth coupled together, that God will keep you from being deceived. God will bring certain things across your path to show you that this individual that you may be trying to follow, that they mind earthly things. And one of the first things that jumps out to me about preachers who that I'll look for just as a saved individual, if a preacher's all about money, just show me money, give me money, talk about money, that's a little red flag to me. Now, I'm not saying he's not following God. I'm not saying he's not doing the Lord's work. But it's a little red flag to me. That's all you're consumed about is how much comes in the offering plate, and you pressure people to keep giving and giving and giving. To me, you're going off to one side of the ditch. And to me, that's somebody who's minding earthly things. So I believe that tonight, brethren, that if you get alone with God and you pray, I believe that God will keep you from deception if it's done in sincerity and truth and you spend time in His Word. Now look, you're going to fall into deception if you don't spend time in the Bible. But if you spend time in the Bible and you study it to the best of your ability and you try to get in it to the best of your ability and allow God to work in your life, I do not believe that God's just going to let you fall down into a pit, fall into deception. I believe God will give you wisdom. I believe God will give you light. I believe God will give you understanding. And I believe God will send red flags to show you what's right and what might be wrong. Second Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 6. Second Thessalonians chapter 3. He says it again in his second letter to those there at Thessalonica. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, in verse number 6, as he's finishing up the second letter to Thessalonica, he says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow, here it is again, how ye ought to follow us. For we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Paul finishes up here his letter in these last remaining verses to the church there, and he says in verse 7, For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. And he goes on to say, For we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, so much so, he says in verse number 8, that they went and they worked with their own hands, so that again, that there will be no accusation that they can bring against Paul saying, well, you only came in here because you wanted us for our money. Paul took that out from underneath them and said, listen, follow us. You can trust, Paul's saying, you can trust me, you can trust Silvanus, you can trust Timothy as we try to strive for God because we have no ulterior motive. And we try to prove this to you even by working with our own hands, laboring and travailing night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. What's a preacher's attitude? Think about that for a moment. What is the preacher's attitude? There's nobody in here this evening that can't tell sometimes when an individual is getting prideful. If you're with a preacher, you're listening to a preacher, you got sermons, or you're watching something on the television, somebody's preaching, and there's just this tint and hint of pride, be careful with it. Because Paul here is doing everything he can to be humble among the brethren there in order for him to be able to preach to them. Lastly, look over at Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 9. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 9. The writer of Hebrews says here in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 9, says, but beloved, Hebrews 6, 9, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. You see, there's some things that need to accompany salvation. There's some things that ought to, when you get saved, there's some things that ought to occur in your life that you're not what you used to be. That you passed from death unto life, that's something that accompanies salvation. That you've been made a new creature in Jesus Christ. He says, thus we speak. He says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. He says in verse number 11, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. And look what he says in verse 12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. These are just a few verses in the Bible that establishes a principle of being able to follow an individual as they follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't just have to be a man. It can be a woman also. There's women that you can follow that are a godly example of how they've lived their lives, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with following an individual as they follow the Lord Jesus Christ, especially if they're older in the faith. Another individual we ought to follow is our Lord Jesus Christ. Look over at Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 19. Matthew 4 and 19. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 19. Matthew 4, 19. We ought to follow our Lord. Matthew 4 and verse number 19. Look what Jesus says to his disciples here, and Simon Peter and Andrew his brother, as they were fishing. He said unto them in verse number 19, he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Look what it says next in verse 20. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately left the ship and their father, and followed him. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow his example. Follow his testimony. Follow and learn of how he walked and how he conducted himself. But as you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, it may come at a cost to your flesh. It may cause some offenses, and it may bring much discomfort and trial. Take your Bible, look over at Matthew chapter number 8 now. Jesus said to Peter, James, John, he says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. But look at Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 19. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 19. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. It's pretty good. It's pretty good to come to Jesus and have that attitude. Master, I'll follow you wherever you go. But before the Lord says, come on, the Lord says this in verse number 20. Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You see, he's putting something back on this individual. You see, this man's coming to Jesus, said, Lord, I'll follow you, Master. I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says, hang on, son, time out. You count the cost yet? Take a moment to think for a second. Because Jesus didn't say, oh, come on, just follow me. Amen. I'm glad for your zeal. I'm glad for your desire. No, Jesus says this to him. He puts it back on him. He says, listen, son. He says, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. Listen, they got homes. The fox has got a home to go back to. The bird has got a home to go back to. But the Son of Man, he has no place to lay his head. You come after me and you follow me, there may be times where you have no place to lay your head at night. It may cost you a home if you try to follow me. Verse number 21. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And you would think the right response would be from a good minister of God, amen, go back. Yes, bury your father. I'm sure you care about him. I'm sure you love him, obviously. Go back and bury your father first, and then you come follow me. Take care of that first. I understand it. You just lost your dad. But then come follow me. No, look what the Lord says. Whew. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. That's pretty rough. That's pretty rough. Verse 23. And when he entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. You see, sometimes you may follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's not answering your prayers. Just as in this situation here, they get in this boat, they start to go out in the sea. They're following Jesus. Jesus is right there with them, but he was asleep. Verse 25, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And the Lord says in verse 26, and he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? You see, maybe there'll be times you think you're sinking in life. There may be times where you think you're sinking, the waves are overwhelming you, and you think in your mind that Jesus is asleep and doesn't hear you. You see, at this point in Scripture, yes, Jesus was really asleep because he was physically here on this earth, and he was physically on a boat, and he had this human physical body that he had that he took upon himself, and he's there actually with these men in a boat, and he actually fell physically asleep. But you see, he's no longer asleep. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't take naps up in heaven. But sometimes we may think in our soul and our spirit, because we're not getting the answer we desire, that God's asleep and he doesn't hear us. He doesn't see what's going on. He doesn't see the waves coming in us. He doesn't see that the ship's getting ready to sink. But Jesus said, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Following the Lord may cause our flesh to be offended. It may bring much discomfort and trial, but there's no other place I'd rather be. There's no other place I'd rather be than following my Savior. Following the Lord may require, and I believe does require, that you take up your cross daily. Look at Matthew chapter number 10 and verse 32. One chapter over, verse number 32. Look what again he says to his 12 disciples. He says to them in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, he says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against the mother, and their daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. That's salvation. You know, a little bit of discussion this morning about repentance. Repentance is willing to give up whatever the Lord may require. The act of being willing to. Brethren, I know no other salvation. Any other type of salvation is foreign to me. Unless I'm deceived and the devil's messed with my mind, I knew when I got saved, I was willing to give up whatever the Lord may desire for me to give up. I just wanted to know Jesus. That's all I wanted. I was sick of Chris Welton. I was sick of the life that Chris Welton was living. I was sick of living in the sin that I was living in. And when God finally rang my bell, I was willing to give up whatever he wanted me to give up. Almost to the sense of, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. Lord, if I don't have a place to lay my head on tonight, God, I'm going to follow you. Lord, if I lose my father, if I lose my mother, if I lose my brother, if I lose my sister because I'm following you, God, so be it, I'll keep on following you. That was my attitude when I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. To me, that's true salvation, to where you get to a point to where you're willing to say, Lord, whatever, God, I don't care, I just want you, Jesus. I just want you. Take the world, but give me Jesus. And that's exactly what the Lord's telling his disciples here. He's saying, listen to me. He's saying, I want you to think about something real quick here, disciples. Listen, if you're going to follow me, there's an opportunity and a chance you're probably going to lose your daddy and your mama. Look at that blind man in John chapter number 9. You don't think it cost that man there in John chapter 9? But he said, I'm going to follow you, Lord. His own parents turned their back on him. He's of age, ask him. Why? Because they feared being kicked out of the synagogue. Any Jew, any true Jew that's been born again knows what I'm talking about right now. Any true Jew that has been born again of God knows exactly what I'm talking about right now. Because if they decide to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, their family's going to hold a funeral for them. A literal funeral. To say, you're dead and you're no longer part of this family. As far as we're concerned, you're dead, you're in the ground, we don't know you no more. Any Jew that decides to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to cost them something. I know of no other salvation. But a salvation that is found in Matthew 10, where Jesus says, take up your cross, and he's not willing to take up his cross and follow me. He is not worthy of me. He that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. You know what the problem is in most churches today? You got people coming to God saying something, and they still want their life as well. They're holding on to their life, but that they want God and what God has to give. And God says, until you're willing to drop that thing in your right hand, you ain't having what's in the left hand. I was holding something in my right hand, and I knew I was holding on to it. And the Lord says, son, or not at that time, I wasn't his son yet. Chris, take up your cross, follow me. He that finds his life shall lose it, but he that loses his life for my sake, you'll find it. And as soon as I was willing to lose my life, I found a true eternal life found in Jesus Christ. Follow me. Jesus says, follow me. And he that follows me needs to realize that sometimes it's going to come at a cost. You tell me some of those missionaries of old time, you tell me some of those missionaries of today that go overseas, that it doesn't cost them something. You don't think that it weighs on their mind when they realize, okay, I might not ever see my family again. I may never not come home again. When you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be times your flesh is not going to like it. But you need to go on and follow him. Take your Bible, lastly, and look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Lastly, last thing we'll look here and we'll pray. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow men or women that are following God and are living godly and righteous lives. Follow, he says there to the, he said there in Thessalonica, the church, that they follow the churches which are in Judea and are in Christ Jesus. Lastly, look over at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 11 and 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6. These are some other things, real quick, that we ought to follow after. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 11. But thou, O man of God, Paul talking to Timothy, he says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. And look what he says. And follow after righteousness, follow after godliness and faith, love, patience, and meekness. Paul tells Timothy, he says, man of God, flee those things which he listed in the previous part of the chapter. He says then, but he says then, follow after what? Follow after righteousness. Desire Timothy to live a righteous, and then he says to live in godliness, a godly life with faith, love, patience, and meekness. Follow after these things, Timothy. And look what he says to him again in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Almost the exact same thing he writes to Timothy again in his second letter to him in chapter 2 and verses 19 through 22. He says almost the exact same thing to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a grace house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Look at verse 21. If any man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. But look what he says in verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow. Follow what, Timothy? Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. Follow after these things, Timothy. Follow after righteousness. Follow after faith, charity. Follow after godliness and love and patience and meekness and peace. Timothy, put the emphasis on these things and don't let them fall by the wayside. Be a continual follower of these things. And I believe he had a great example in the Apostle Paul as he tried to follow him as an individual that tried to apply these things in his life. You know how you can keep from being deceived by following certain men? Are they men that follow after righteousness? Are they men that follow after faith? Are they men that follow after charity? Are they men that follow after godliness? Are they men that follow after love and patience and meekness and peace? If those individuals follow after those things, then follow them as they follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray this evening. Lord, I thank you for this time tonight. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. And I thank you for your grace. Lord, I pray you just help us, Lord, to love you, to draw close to you, Lord, to be about your business. Lord, to continue, as Paul told Timothy, to continue to fight the good fight of faith. Lord, help us to endure hardness as good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us through this week. Help us to fight the battles. Lord, help us to find encouragement in you and in your word. Lord, help us to follow you. Lord, help us to be willing daily to put this flesh on that cross. Lord, help us to lose our life in order that we may find yours. Lord, help us to bring this flesh into subjection. Help us to walk in the Spirit, Lord, so that we don't fulfill the lust thereof. Lord, I ask these things now all in thy precious Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, brethren, love you, and I pray that you have a good week, and Lord willing, see you on Wednesday evening. Amen.